Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from John 20, verses 1 to 18. And there are some pictures for you to follow. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter, the other disciple, and the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary was outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body has been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went back to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
So, I wonder if anyone's a little bit like me and loves a good roller coaster. Anyone here who loves a good roller coaster? Oh, really? I'm with you guys, I've got your hands up. I absolutely love the fastest it can go, maybe the most vertical it can drop, the most loops it can do. I love that, but do not put me on anything that spins. If it spins, that's not for me. But the fastest roller coaster I think are really exciting. Now, there is one particular roller coaster that I have really learned to love a lot. And I have to admit something to you. My sister and I have gone to Alton Towers without children. We've gone to Euro Disney twice without children because we like to do the rides and we have children to pretend that that's okay, but sometimes we go on our own. But my favourite one is actually found at Alton Towers. It's called now Galactica, but when I went, it was called Air. And there's something different about this type of roller coaster. Now, this type of roller coaster, when you go in, you line up forever and you get to the front of the queue, and in comes the roller coaster itself. and they're in rows of three chairs. And you go in and you sit in your chair and a giant harness comes down over the top of you and clamps down over your shoulders. Now, I'm not the slightest of people, and I make sure that I don't breathe in at that moment, because otherwise I will never be able to breathe out again, because it clamps exactly where it stops. But for safety measures, they also put in an additional harness that clips that shoulder harness to the base of your seat. So I feel nice and safe and secure in my seat until the next thing happens. Now, the thing about this particular type of roller coaster is that it's the first inverted one in the UK, which means when you're sitting there happily with your feet dangling in your chair ready to go, things start to happen differently. The floor drops from beneath you. And then two guards come around your ankles to keep your ankles in place. And then the entire seat then lifts up backwards so that you go from a seating position to being absolute horizontal looking at the ground. Now that's when my mood changes slightly. And that is when these two bars that are added to the safety harness come in really useful, because I grab them and hold them tightly. Now, I'm not very good at strength. If you ever go to one of those woods things where there are monkey bars where you need to hang on it, I do not go near it, because I cannot hold myself up at all. I can't do the rock climbing or anything like that, because my arms aren't strong enough. But for some reason, when I'm facing the ground, I think that I can hold myself into that seat. Absolutely crazy, because I know that the seat itself has got me. It's not going to drop me. I'm going to be absolutely secure. But for some reason, I hold on. And then there are these crazy people who do this in a roller coaster. That's not me. I do not ever let go. I hold on tightly as we go all the way through the roller coaster. Whatever it is, I am holding on for dear life. Then it finishes, and guess what? I run around, and on air, I did it 5 times in a trot. Straight after each other, just again and again and again. And I still held on every single time. Now, it's funny what we hold on to, isn't it? Now, I know that my holding on makes me no safer than those people who let their arms go. I know that I'm just as safe, but in my head, I'm in control when I hold on. And it made me start to think about holding on. And there are certain things that we do hold on to for good reasons. So sometimes we hold on to the handrail as we're going downstairs. That makes us feel secure in case we lose our footing. If we have a stick or a crutch or something, it helps us to be stable. It helps us to be secure and it supports us. And if we're crossing roads with little ones, we hold on to their hands, don't we, to make sure that they're safe as we go across. And holding on can make us feel secure. It can make us feel safe. It can help us to be supported. But today, as we were listening to that story, I wonder if you heard holding on in amongst our reading. See, when Mary was there at the tomb, and she heard Jesus call her name, she turned round and she held on to Jesus. Now we read in Matthew's gospel that she clasped his feet, this kind of holding on to him. And I can totally understand why. Just a few days earlier, she had seen Jesus on a cross. She had seen him die. And she had been there when she saw the body come down from the cross, be taken to the tomb, and saw it sealed. She was there. She knew what had happened to Jesus. And so the grief must have been immense. What she went through those few days while she was waiting, I can only imagine. But as she saw Jesus risen alive, she grabbed hold of him. And that's going back to like that handrail, isn't it? It's going back to our walking stick. when she saw Jesus, she went back to, I'm keeping you. I've lost you once. I'm not going to lose you again. I'm not going to go back to what it was like these last few days. You are risen and you're alive, and I'm keeping you like that. And part of her holding on was her willingness to keep hold of Jesus as he had been. Now we hear that Jesus actually says to her, do not hold on to me. Now it wasn't telling her off, it wasn't telling her she couldn't do that, but what Jesus was meaning was so much more than that. Very often, we like to keep hold of things. And I did a little bit of statistic looking at over the course of the last couple of days. And I wonder if you can tell me, on average, how many items in the average home do people have? So how many items are there in the average home? Now, for those who are moving house recently, you'll know there are lots. So not fixtures and fittings, but items you can pick up and move. Okay, I'm feeling brave. I'm going to call out to me a rough number of how many items you think are in the average house. 3,000. 5,000?
1 million.
1 million. Woo! I'm not coming to your house. Yes? Say again? 5,032. I love your numbers. 10,000. So we've gone from 3,000, 5,000, well, it's up to 1 million. So we've got quite a lot. 20,000. Well, I have to tell you, this stats is actually based on American data because I couldn't find any UK one. But I don't think we're very different, to be perfectly honest. The answer is 300,000 items. Over a quarter of 1 million items are in the average US home. Now, that is mind-blowing. But also, of that, apparently 25% of all garages are full of storage and things and not cars. Apparently, the average child has 238 toys, of which they play with 12 in one day. So we have stuff, don't we? We have lots of stuff. I could honestly say I'm having a discussion with my sister who I live with at the moment about, do we buy a bigger house? We're genuinely having this conversation. The answer was clear out the shed. And that's where we're at the moment. We're clearing out. Because we feel hemmed in by all the stuff we've got. We love to possess. And when Mary held on to Jesus, she wanted to keep hold of him as she knew him to be, as he had been for those years she'd been following him. But Jesus had other plans. He said to her, do not hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended. You see, Jesus was divine. Tenuous link, but I'm going with it. I'm going with it. Jesus was divine. He is God. And when Mary wanted to hold on to him, that was not the right way to go forward. God had so many other plans. He needed to ascend to heaven. And the reason why he needed to go to heaven was because he had promised his people that when he's in heaven, he will ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And by Jesus himself being on earth was one man. But through the Holy Spirit, so much more could happen. Now, on Pentecost, which is 6 weeks after today, and 10 or 11 days, depends how you count it, from the Ascension, We have got the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on each and every believer in that upper room. So those people who had met Jesus, who followed Jesus, who had been with him, had seen him die and seen him resurrected, they were then filled up with the power of God. And we see here, if you know your Cadbury's, you know your chocolate, it talks about every single portion of chocolate has the very healthy 1.5 glasses of water. No, it doesn't. Glass of milk. Sorry. Has a glass and half of milk inside, because each portion has that amount. And when the Holy Spirit came, every single one there was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we hear how Peter went out and he gave his first sermon. And in that day, people heard God's message spoken in their language. And they believed in God. So the Holy Spirit was given to all people who were in that upper room when Jesus had ascended. So if Mary had kept hold of him, that couldn't have happened. He had to ascend so that the Holy Spirit could descend. But not only that, now this is my most tenuous link, I'm sorry. I am sorry for this. York used to have a terrible tagline, which you probably know, which is not for girls. I don't know whether you know this one. They got into a lot of trouble for it. But the fact is that the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit descended, was for all people. It wasn't just for man or woman. It wasn't just for slave or free. It wasn't just for rich or poor. It was for Jews and those who were not Jews, Gentiles as well. It was for all people. And so by Jesus ascending to heaven, the Holy Spirit came not only for those disciples, but also it was a message for all people there. And from there, we have got my ripple. You like it? We have got that story of Jesus rippling out and going out from those few to many, many more. So for Mary to ask for Jesus to stay, to hold on, was to actually go against God's plan. Totally understandable. She was upset. She was distraught. She wanted Jesus as she had known him to be, back with them. She didn't want to go through that grief again. She wanted to go back to what it was, having Jesus with them. But that wasn't God's plan. And sometimes we hold on to God too much. Maybe we met with Jesus a very long time ago, but we're still holding on to him as he was when we first knew him. For some of us, we're hoping that he will do again what he's done in the past. We're hoping to go back to something that he has done. But God's way is a creative new way forward. No one could have expected what had happened to happen. No one could expect Jesus would have come back to life. But not only that, that the Holy Spirit would come and this spreading would have happened. And we can sometimes want to keep God in our own little boxes, in the way that we wish him to be. And the truth is that if we keep him like that, we're still looking over our shoulder. We're looking back to things in the past. Now, I was away last week. I was actually at Spring Harvest. And as we were there, we had an amazing theologian who was speaking to us. And she was saying this. The biggest issue that our children and our young people have today is not what you might think it is. It's not about violence or about global warming or about political situation. The biggest issue our young people are dealing with is nostalgia. It's looking over our shoulders. It's looking back to the vintage years, the retro times, the good old days when we didn't have smartphones, and the good old days when the world did what seasonal things did in the world. What has happened is our young people have picked up on that. They've picked up that the older generations are looking back all the time. And so when she was in Oxford or Cambridge, I can't remember which one, but she was in one of these universities, she was speaking to the elite of the people who were going to go out into the world, are going to bring about change, the next generation moving forward. And she wanted to put this to the test. And so she said to them, is it true that the old days are better than today? And what she got as a response absolutely floored her. Every single young person in that room went, "Of course it is. Why are you even asking us that question? Why is it that you think it wasn't better then?" And she absolutely broke, because what it is that our young people have been taking away that future hope. The idea that we can do this, we can turn things around, we can make the future better, that is gone. The idea of getting a job, the idea of going forward, that's gone. And what our job is as believers, as those who follow Christ, is we are to bring that hope. We're to bring that future. We're to envision everyone to recognize that when the Holy Spirit came, he came for all of us, each and every one. Not for when we die, we go to heaven, although we know that is a promise of God. But in the meantime, we get to bring heaven to earth each and every day through the people we meet, through the interactions we have. We are bringing God's kingdom into earth each and every moment. And we can either be part of it, or we can sit and look behind us. And we can keep holding on to how it was. That's not God's way. God's way is future. God's way is forward. God's way is making things right and making things new. God has done an amazing thing, and we do remember that. It's not wrong to look back and remember. We look back today at what Jesus has done. But if we stay there, that's us holding on. So we need to look forward and to recognize the hope that we have in God. We have the joy of knowing him. We have the joy of inviting others to know him too. And we have the joy of sending that message out. You see, the end of that sentence that Jesus said was, "Do not hold on to me, for I am not yet ascended. But I'm going back to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Go and tell the disciples," my brothers, he calls them. "Go and tell my brothers that I'm coming to meet them." So it wasn't just let go, it was let go and go. It was move on from here. We celebrate a risen Jesus today. We celebrate that with our whole hearts, because that is the greatest news ever. But if we just do that here, that's not fulfilling what he wants us to do. We are to go out and to spread that message. Now we're going to do that together in just a moment. We're going to spread good news. There's going to be holy chaos in here. I'm warning you now, watch out for your eyes. Okay, so we're going to be making paper aeroplanes. And on those aeroplanes, we are going to be putting the messages that we want to share with others. The messages of God we would like to send out. So we're going to be making our paper aeroplane, and if you've forgotten how, don't worry, we've got YouTube. Don't worry, it's going to be on the screen. But very simply, I could do it now, but it'll take too long. It will look like this. Blue Peter style. And we can write on there our messages to send out. Now, as we're doing this, I would love you to help the person next to you with their paper making, but also to think, what is the one message God is asking me to send out? And we're going to spend a few moments now making these, then keep hold of them, please, until our holy chaos in a moment's time. Okay, so off we go. There's paper coming around now. There are pens coming around if you haven't got some. So we make our paper planes. If someone's struggling a bit, do give them a hand beside you. I managed to do mine inside out, so I don't know how I managed to do that, but there you go. So once you've made your aeroplane, if you could write on it a message that you want to share with someone, message about God, might be a truth, it might be a Bible verse, it might be He is alive, God loves you, might be a specific word that keeps coming up in your head that you want to write down. So make sure you've written something down on it. There are pens if you need pens. Do raise a hand if you need a pen. Lovely, I think we're ready. Okay, if you're ready, could you show me your aeroplane so I know who's ready and who's not? Okay. So we're now going to put this into action. Can I ask you all to stand for me, please, if you're willing and able? If you'd like to stand. I'm going to do the health and safety warning first. Please be careful of your eyes, and can everyone please throw them up into the air, not into the everybody else, but up into the air. If a plane lands near you, please pick it up, read it, pray it, and throw it again. If it lands near you, pick it up, read it, throw it again. And we're going to see how this goes. And if you've not made a paper airplane, just praise God at this time. That would be amazing. So are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Prayer. Heavenly Lord, we thank you that you are the risen Lord. We thank you that you met with Mary when she was weeping and lost. And we thank you that you love us too much to be held on to. And so, Lord, as we go from this place today, let us take your message of hope with us. Let us take your message of love with us to new places. And may we bring hope to a nation that needs your hope. And may we bring your love to those who require it. And just before we go into a time of worship, I just want to say, it's been really on my mind this morning. If for you, you don't know who Jesus is, and if for you, you don't know what it is they're celebrated so much and what that's about, then can I encourage you to come over to the cross during our time of worship, and I ask that our prayer ministry team to be over there. And if you want to say, Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I understand that you are the Son of God, that you died for me and you rose for me, and I want to follow you, then do go over to our cross area and spend that time meeting God. He is alive, he's got a hope, and he's got a future for you. So don't leave this place today without meeting him. Amen. Please do stand.